Oppenheimer is based on the book The American Prometheus. So Prometheus is like humanity's cool uncle in the myths. If you haven't watched Oppenheimer, all good. There will be no spoilers on this episode. Hey there, Zesties. You're tuning in to The Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. On the show, we talk about personal experiences, development, society, and culture. So if these are the topics that you're interested in, then please stay tuned and give this podcast a follow. So today, Zesties, it's another chill, casual episode about pop culture, more specifically, Barbenheimer. So for those who are out of the loop, Barbenheimer is the phenomenon that began on social media before the simultaneous release of two blockbuster films, which is Barbie and Oppenheimer. So both of these movies got heaps of praise from critics and outperformed expectations at the box office. So initially, I wasn't really thinking of doing this type of episode, and even I was passing off, you know, like waiting for those two movies to launch on home video or home streaming, just because, you know, it's just easier to watch these movies at home. I mean it's way better to watch it in the movies, but sometimes I'm quite lazy to go out. And the benefit of, you know, watching these movies at home is that you can pause, you just can go to the toilet and basically just sleep and then, you know, watch it again. You know what I mean? Because I tend to sleep in the movies. if any of you who is listening to this episode or listening to this, who tends to sleep in the movies, comment down below or send me an email or DM the podcast. Anyway, I got sidetracked there. So yes, Zesties, initially I was not thinking of creating this type of episode when it first blew up, especially, you know, leading up to the Barbie and Oppenheimer movies, just because I'm really not, you know, into that much of a trend. You know, I think I'm way past that age. But one day I decided I'm just going to watch one of these movies. And there were some profound realizations that I wanted to share to you, Zesties, on this episode. So, as I mentioned earlier, Barbenheimer, even though it all started as a joke about how different the two movies seemed, some media folks have actually noticed that they share some similarities. Both movies dive into big themes like the meaning of life and the Anthropocene idea. Plus, they've got directors and writers who snagged Oscar nominations, a huge ensemble of actors, and were both made by a married couple's production company. Now, this whole thing is an example of counter-programming, basically a smart marketing move where a tonally different kind of movie comes out on the same day as a big blockbuster to attract a crowd that doesn't always get catered to. Back in 2022, Universal pulled off some clever moves with counter-programming. They launched the dramedy About a Boy right alongside the sci-fi blockbusters Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. And I didn't even remember About a Boy, actually. I think I watched Episode II, Attack of the Clones back then. But believe it or not, the British film had the best start that year, raking in over $130 million. And during the holiday hustle as well, the phenomenon keeps happening, like in 2022 with Avatar, The Way of the Water, and Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, both of which I haven't watched. Actually, there is. Avatar is already in Disney Plus. I just didn't have the chance to watch it. Anyway, summer's like a high-stakes showdown with examples like Top Gun Maverick and the Bob's Burgers movie in 2022 as well. The smaller flick Bob's Burgers went head-to-head with the big guns. So when Barbie and Oppenheimer dropped, it took us back to 2008 when The Dark Knight and Mamma Mia hit theaters on the same day. Tom Cruise went all out to promote his movie challenging Oppenheimer and Barbie, aiming to steal the limelight from Oppenheimer's three-week IMAX showtime. Now, Barbenheimer, which is, you know, just a merge of Barbie and Oppenheimer, also reminds us the time when Animal Crossing, New Horizons, and Doom Eternal games launched together on March 2020. causing a similar online frenzy. Well, by back then, it was during COVID time, so I think it didn't pique my interest at that time, I would say. Then seeing the success of Barbenheimer, other studios cooked up their own schemes. There's Saw Patrol tied to Saw X and Paw Patrol, the mighty movie, hitting screens on September 29, 2023, though it's safe to say the response has been a mixed bag. The way these movies were promoted were like night and day. Barbie's marketing budget was around $150 million, while Oppenheimer sat at $100 million only. As you can tell as well, like there's a lot of Barbie marketing all around. They even partnered with some brands as well. I know for a fact that they've partnered with, you know, I love skincare and beauty products and stuff. So they partnered with Lush. It's like a skincare brand, and also Zara perfume as well. And Oppenheimer was kind of like a low-key kind of thing, which is, it was a smart move, I would have to say. Anyway, Barbie went all out with the immersive partnerships, as I mentioned earlier. And on the flip side, Oppenheimer went for a more chill vibe, teasing folks with trailers and an online countdown leading up to the 78th anniversary of the first nuclear explosion. Now, speaking of which, there were rumors that Japan has banned the theatrical release of Oppenheimer because of its nature, right? If you think about it, the movie is the creation of the thing that was dropped to Hiroshima and Nagasaki that has cost thousands of lives. However, as of now, nothing is confirmed that it's banned. And they just didn't release it in Japan for the reason of paying respects to the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now for Zesties who might have been out of the loop, Oppenheimer is a movie about the titular character J. Robert Oppenheimer, who is actually called the father of the atomic bomb. Now, you guys all know that, or you may not know, that I love watching TVs, movie, and anime. And most, if not all, that I've shared on this show is mainly on a societal, cultural commentary and not as a movie critic. So before we begin, did you guys watch Oppenheimer? Or did you guys watch Barbie? Let me know on the comments or DM me. Just let me know, and I would be very, very interested to find out. If you haven't watched Oppenheimer, all good, all good. There will be no spoilers on this episode, but this is more of a reaction as someone who actually wasn't following this trend or even wasn't really following the lead up or the marketing for this movie. I just said one day that, okay, I'm just going to watch Oppenheimer one Saturday afternoon, you know? I didn't know that Barbie was coming out, and someone just told me that there is a Barbie movie, and my first few phrases was like, I'm not a Barbie person, but when I actually saw the trailer, it was very interesting. It gives me strong independent woman vibes, but for me, it was a pass on a cinema level. Like, I wouldn't watch it in cinemas just because I can maybe watch it at the comfort of my home, like stream, launch, and stuff like that. So I was more interested to watch Oppenheimer for the visuals, the storylines, and it's a Christopher Nolan film. So it's, I might be biased here, but yeah, I think just Barbie, although I know it's visually stunning as well, it wasn't just my cup of tea to watch in a movie, but I for sure would watch it on the home release, home theater release. Anyway, I hope no one's offended on this one, but you know, it's just not my cup of tea. So let me know if it's your cup of tea and we're all good. And also Zesties, fun fact, this movie Oppenheimer is based on the book The American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer by Kay Bird and Martin J. Sherwin. And so this mentioned Prometheus. So here's a little Greek mythology to remind us who Prometheus is. So Prometheus stands out in Greek mythology as the guy who swiped fire from the gods and hooked up with humanity with it. He's one of those titan characters, you know, those ancient and super powerful beings that came before the well-known Olympian gods in Greek lore. So Prometheus is like humanity's cool uncle in the myths, gifting us with the knowledge and tools that pushed us forward. But the real headline act in the Prometheus saga is when he pulled off this epic heist of fire from Mount Olympus, the crib of the gods, right? So fire wasn't just any old flame back then, it was like the heavenly Wi-Fi, a symbol of knowledge and power. By passing it to us mere mortals, Prometheus basically handed us the keys to warmth, cooking, crafting tools and weapons, and a bunch of other game-changing stuff. Of course, when you mess with divine goodies, there are consequences. So Zeus, the top dog of the gods, wasn't exactly thrilled about Prometheus' little stunt. He was fuming and wanted payback. So what does he do? Zeus ropes Prometheus to a rock, and every day an eagle drops by for a liver buffet. Yeah, it's as gruesome as it sounds. The catch, Prometheus is immortal, so his liver grows back each night, and the eagle gets to feast all over again. Thankfully, along comes Heracles, or Hercules, if you prefer the Latin name. He's got a checklist of hero deeds, and one of them is breaking Prometheus out of his liver predicament. After a bunch of heroic heavy lifting, Heracles sets Prometheus free. Prometheus' story has been a gold mine of inspiration for ages. It's not just about the fire theft. It's a tale of rebellion, wisdom, sacrifice, and the cosmic dance between us regular humans and the big-shot divine beings. People have spun his character and story in all sorts of directions, making him the poster child for human curiosity and the never-ending hunt for knowledge. There you go! And so here are some of the reviews online, Zesties, about Oppenheimer. So one Twitter user said, "Stunning performance and bone-chilling sound design. Make this a must-see. Get ready to be captivated, challenged, and forever changed." Another one said, "Oppenheimer was one of the best films they've seen in recent years, calling the screenplay brilliant." I have to admit that these are exactly what I felt as well, Zesties. It was stunning. The performance was stunning. The sound was divine. Like, I haven't been to the movies in a while. I can't remember when was the last time I was in the movies, but for sure I slept. So, but this time around, I didn't. I almost, but I didn't sleep. And that's, you know, it says a lot, you know? So this movie is also, aside from being intellectually stimulating, it's also a feast for the senses. So the sound was, for me at first, it was too loud just because I'm not a movie goer anymore. I love movies. I loved going to the movies before. But it just, I think with the introduction of streaming services, I just, you know, bided my time and waited for the home release. But, you know, it says a lot if I watch a material on the movies, that's all. So anyway, let's move on to the characters. So there's a bunch of characters there, a lot of scientists, and I'm not going to bore you with the names of these characters, but very interestingly that there are also women scientists there, like, you know, they've shown, and also strong women as well. So I have to say that even though the Barbie movie was very open about feminism and very straightforward, or, you know, like in your face feminism, you know, this is based on the trailers, I have to say. So I haven't watched the movie, but based on the trailers, this was my impression of it. But Oppenheimer movie is actually indirectly showing us as well strong independent women. So it's very, very interesting. Although that wasn't the big highlight of the movie, but I have to say that Oppenheimer, being the man that he is, this old adage that said, behind a successful man is a woman. And I think that that shows in the Oppenheimer movie as well. Although again, it's not the highlight of it because it's about his life, you know, his rise and downfall, which I would really recommend you Zesties watching. And so yes, going back to my commentary on the actors and the characters as one. So Cillian Murphy, so he is the titular character in this movie, which is J. Robert Oppenheimer. So if you didn't know Cillian Murphy, he is recognized for his roles in productions like Peaky Blinders and A Quiet Place Part 2. And also, you know, this, he has been a staple actually of Christopher Nolan's cinematic works. So Cillian Murphy plays Oppenheimer, who played a pivotal role in the Manhattan Project of World War II. Also, there are other, it's an ensemble of actors, actually, Zesties. You have Emily Blunt as Oppenheimer's wife here, Kitty. Matt Damon as Leslie Groves. I don't know this, you know, this person in real life, but apparently he is also one of the big shots in this Manhattan Project. And of course, Robert Downey Jr. as Louis Strauss, and a bunch of brilliant actors as well, Zesties. So, and again, when I watched this movie, I haven't even watched the trailer, actually. I only watched the movie, I only watched the Barbie trailer, but I haven't watched the Oppenheimer trailer. But I'm just really curious about, you know, Oppenheimer's life and his downfall and et cetera. And if you guys are a fan of Big Bang Theory, he has been, or I mean, Oppenheimer has also been mentioned on one of the episodes as well, you know, as a geek, and you know, he's like a physicist, right? So yeah, stunning performance by the actors. They lived and breathed the character themselves. And of course, kudos to Cillian Murphy for a stunning performance. I mean, he really embodied the character. I can see that he has lost weight. So I think the only thing that, it's not really a negative, but without saying too much about the movie, you guys just need to watch out for the timeline, because it's just, at first you will not understand like why, what's happening, because there are several timelines and it goes back and forth a little bit. And there was one that I, like, it's quite confusing for me because one of the most present day timeline, but it is in black and white, which is odd. But I don't know, I haven't watched any commentary about that by the directors and the cast members. I haven't even watched some of the interviews of the cast, but you know, like just my own interpretation of the thing. So yes, it was quite odd to see the black and white color. I guess, you know, without knowing anything, I guess that the intention there was just to differentiate the timeline, because that timeline is quite like the pivotal moment of his demise. I don't know, but you know, so this is, when I'm saying demise, I mean, Zesties, it's not a spoiler. So there are, it's really, really interesting. So you guys, I highly recommend you guys watch this movie just for being inspired by this character. And of course, knowing the cultural significance of his invention. And, you know, like, J. Robert Oppenheimer's story is a mix of victory, tragedy. He rocked the world with his theoretical physics feats, but he's mostly remembered as the quote-unquote father of the atomic bomb, leading the charge at the Los Alamos laboratory where they cooked up the bomb. He and his crew completely changed how we see things, making everything feel a whole lot more uncertain, right? The atomic bomb totally flipped the script on how we saw the end of the world. And back in the day, folks thought doomsday would be all about God's anger or the ultimate reckoning. But now, bam, a whole world could vanish in a heartbeat, right? No holy stuff, no chance for redemption. Just like physicist Isidore Isaac Rabi put it, the bomb basically saw humans as mere stuff, nothing fancy. Oppenheimer, though, went all religious when he chatted about this project. almost like he wanted to make sure we got how seriously huge it was. And there was a scene, which I won't tell you specifically, that angered the Hindus as well. Basically, it was a scene that was not really holy in a way, but the character was spewing lines in Hindu, and which was sacred for them. That was like a line from their scriptures. And it kind of like angered a lot of Hindus, but it was a mixed reaction from them. But I guess mainly, I can't really comment exactly about it because I'm not a Hindu, so I might not understand exactly what they feel. So you guys can just check it out. It was once you watch the movie. So if you have watched the movie after this commentary, please let me know. I would be very interested to find out. And yes, without really digging into more of it, because I want you guys to really watch it, I would have to say. It's like, you know, it's quite exciting to see it. And it's quite exciting for me to know whether you've watched it because of this recommendation or not. Or I just basically want to know your thoughts. So yes, I think I would leave you here, Zesties. And again, thank you so much for your time today. If you have episode recommendations or any if you want to chat, please do email to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com or follow us on our socials, Instagram and Facebook and YouTube as well. So I am posting some videos on YouTube. Let me know if you prefer a video podcast as well. If you're interested, let me know so I could put out videos if you'd like. And if you like this episode, Zesties, please share it with your friends. Please also consider rating the podcast because it will really help a lot, you know, with the visibility of the podcast. And if you'd like to give me a cup of coffee or two, please head down to the episode notes and click on the PayPal link to keep me caffeinated. And big thanks once again to our patrons, Jem, and everyone who is keeping me caffeinated. And I'll see you again next week. Have a gleeful life.